we're going to listen to one of the giants, of European music. I would like to finish.
So you want to say a giant, you give them 7 minutes instead of five?
No, it would be fair to give that. It's even-handed, everybody the same. It's just to keep in mind the common denominator and try to accentuate the specificity of each problem.
That's exactly what I tried to do. And I hope you'll forgive me if I forget a very important issue that I want to try to do is to pull out a main guidelines about the situation in France. What I have to say first is that the situation is very, very complex. And I'm not so sure anybody can speak without a big part of perplexity of the situation in France. According to the people you're speaking with, you get a very different image of what is going on here. That's to say, for some people who have quite, not exactly a quiet situation, but not a very, very disturbing one. And according to other people, you can see a very apocalyptic future. So it's quite difficult to know what is right beside that. If I try to draw the main guidelines, I can say that we have a big and strong Jewish community, about 600 to 700,000, we don't know exactly, which specificity seems to be recognized inside France. That's to say, being a Jew in France is not something very strange. It's accepted. This acknowledgement of the Jewish community, of the specific Jewish community, is not exactly supported, maybe, by a real acknowledgement of Judaism, as it is. That's to say, French people know they're Jews, French Jews, but they don't know exactly what is Judaism. And they still feel it as a mysterious, closed on itself group with very strong links between its members. And it's not really very well accepted. The second point is that the French Jewish community has become a privileged target for terrorists in the last few years. And I feel that one big danger for us would be that people are getting used to the terrorism. That's to say, after Copernic, there was a very, very big reaction in France, and we could see demonstration in the whole territory and so on. After the media was here, it was quite different, maybe for three main reasons. First of all, because after Copernic, most people could think it came from the extreme right, and I think it's quite easy to get a mobilization against extreme right. But after the media was here, when people feel it's quite it's closely linked to a situation in the Middle East, well, they feel that's a foreign war, and the Jews are part of a foreign war. And that is a very dangerous situation because it makes the Jewish community a single community, or a singularized community inside France. The second point one should emphasize is that in the last year, terrorism was there was a general wave of terrorism in France, that's to say, the Jewish community was not the only target to terrorism. We had some, I don't know exactly, I know that in Corsica there was something like 800 terrorist assaults in 1 year. And one should not forget the big assaults against the train, the Capitole, Rue Marbeuf, and so on and so on. So we have a wave of violence inside France. But the problem is that Jews feel that they are the only ones who are attacked as a community inside this general wave of violence. To speak about the war in Lebanon, I shall be very, very brief. I think what everybody said about press and so on is true for France too. What happened for us too, and maybe it's quite specific to France, was we had two kinds of specific enemies. That's to say, first of all, the Communist Party, and it is very important Because what we saw during the summer is some kind of a mobilization of the immigrant workers against Israel. You could see demonstrations of Arab workers against Israel. And this can be a point of conflict, quite important, and still give an illustration of the foreign war between Arabs and Jews. The second point is that we saw a Christian attack against Israel and directly against Judaism. We saw some kind of an equation. Israel is not good. Israel is a Jewish state. So the Jewish roots of Israel may be the roots of no good. That's to say, when they say that Israel is racialist, why is it racialist? Because it is Jew, because Judaism is racialist. And this is not very, very important yet, but this could become, in the future, a crucial issue for us. What I have to say too is that Israel and the Jews have a very special place in the conscience of the Jewish of the French in general. So I don't know if they ask more. Maybe they ask more of Israel, more of Jews. But what I have to say is that what is going on in the Middle East is more important for anybody here than what is going on in Afghanistan or in Africa or everywhere in the world. So we cannot be surprised that they give a very, very big place to what is going on in the Middle East. The last point about this problem is that we could see in the last few years, and it's now quite real to me, that if the Jew is very important, one has to, well, that's the way French people feel, one has to look for the real Jew. And the real Jew is not Israel now, it is the Palestinian. So what is all the people who have the, a lot of people have a past in the left wing parties, or even in the history of resistance and so on, may identify themselves more with the Palestinian than with the Jews. I think there is one point which is common to all of us, but it's quite important in France too. It's a wave of xenophobia. But one should emphasize that the wave of xenophobia till now has been only against immigrants and not against Jews. And we don't know exactly what it can be in the future, but till now it hasn't been against Jews. Maybe one word about the Barbie trial and the general problem of the Nazi past and the occupation past in France. The Barbie trial may be a difficult issue for the Jewish community for two reasons. The one is that Barbie will try to emphasize the problems, the dichotomy inside France about between resistance and vicious. And the second point is, and I'm not sure that France, digested all these parts. And the second point is that for juridical reasons, the Barbie trial will be essentially a Jewish one. So it may be good because we can emphasize what happened 40 years ago, but it may be one reason too, so that the Jews will be singled inside the national community and maybe felt as seeking a revenge and not forgetting the past and everything like that.
On this point, Delino.
I'm sorry?
On this one point, wouldn't you think that the fact that Jean Moulin was really
Yes, but for the for the trial, they will not speak directly of Jean Moulin, they will speak only of the Jewish deportation.
Can I also say one word? I've been personally struck, and I wrote an article about that in my Gap, that even as well in France as in Belgium, whenever there are some articles about Barbie, it's always precisely about Jean Moulin. He's presented as l'homme qui a tué Jean Moulin, the man who killed Jean Moulin. And you read articles about this trial must be trial of torture. this trial must be the trial of the actions against the resistance and so on. And I believe, maybe we could speak about that in debate afterwards, it's getting one element of these, I believe something that's much more dangerous than anti-Zionist, which is the progressive forgetting about what happened in the Second World War. And it's very significant that there has been very much said about Barbie and the Jews, I believe.
How would you say Jewish opinion is oriented on the Barbie trial?
On the Barbie trial, well, first of all, of course, the Jewish opinion is quite happy, if one can use this word, about the Barbie trial. What I wanted to say that when Barbie was arrested, most newspapers spoke of Jean Moulin much more than of the Jews. But we have the problem of the imprescriptibility of crimes against humanity, and this is only linked to Jews and not to Jean Moulin. So if you want, I think that one of the problems of the Jewish community, and it's not only related to the Barbie's trial, but it's quite general, is that when the French national community is trying to find a unanimity about any problem, about the Middle East, about the past, and so on, the Jews are always the ones who are causing the problems, who are giving the problems.
The wheel.
So it's quite difficult. What I would like to suggest in one last word is that the situation is quite ambiguous. That's to say, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we could speak very easily of specific French elements of anti-Semitism. And now it's much more difficult. I think it's much more closely linked to what is happening in other countries, at least in Europe. One can't speak so easily as I did 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, about new right and extreme right and the leftist anti-Zionism, which is closely linked to anti-Semitism. It's much more complex now.
Before we leave the Barbie trial, I might be of some interest to this group to know that it is beginning to create an impact in the United States. Number one, the relationship between Barbie and the United States government through the CIA. Secondly, it would appear that two or three times during his exile in Bolivia, he visited the United States under a false name, for what purpose we do not yet know. But the important thing is there was some groundswell in the United States for an investigation as to how the United States government could have had any relationship with Mr. Barbie after the war. Originally, it was the opinion of the Attorney General of the United States, who was its chief law enforcement officer, that Barbie, whatever his relationship with the United States, had committed no crimes against the United States, ergo, there would be no official inquiry. However, the editorial comment and public opinion in the United States forced a change to the extent now that the United States government has launched an official inquiry, regardless of who gets hurt, in to determine precisely what the relationship was and how it came about.
No, I didn't want to. I just wanted to ask just one word still about Barbie's trial. That's to say, I said the Jewish community is very happy of the trial, but a few personalities inside the Jewish community were asking themselves if it was a good thing to Jews or not a good thing to Jews, just like Simone Weil. And we have another issue now, is to know that if the trial will be broadcasted on the television or not. And I think most of the people I met inside the Jewish community were against television broadcasting.
In the Dutch newspapers, I saw some letters to the editor, which made the comparison between Barbie and Sharon.
It's been seen everywhere.
And yeah, so I wonder what the situation will be during the process in France when such continues, when this continues. The letters said that they don't understand why the Jews are so eager to bring Barbie for trial, because they have in their midst their own war criminals.
Yes, well, what I wanted to say, and it's maybe it may be a more general statement, is that during the war in Lebanon, when we have all the kinds of comparisons we heard, Holocaust in Lebanon, massacres, the Israeli Luftwaffe, and so on and so on. But I think that the reaction after the Rudi Rosier, when the Jews in the street attacked the journalist, may have positive results. That's to say, after the Rudi Rosier, I feel that the press, well, I don't know if you agree, I feel that the press was quite shocked, and maybe they felt somewhere that they were guilty. So they were much more careful after the Rudi Rosier in their comparisons. About Barbie and Begin Barbie or Sharon Barbie, there was a strong reaction in France when the Soviet Union compared Barbie to Begin, and this was too much. That's to say, there was a, I'm not sure, I think there was too much is too much. About the French and the Jews, I don't know, I feel that maybe some French can get fed up, because every day, or almost every day, the radio is speaking about Jews, and I read some letters to newspaper that said, oh my God, at least once you do speak about the Jews. And that is one of our problems, because they speak about the Jews, about the Middle East, about the war, about anti-Semitism, about terrorism, and this is too much.
Yeah. 2 years ago we coined Jews sell well.
No, Jews is news.
Jews is
trash and old one.
My grandmother used to say they talk too much about us, that's not good.
I would like to ask a friend one question. I'm a little bit surprised she didn't talk about the personal role of François Mitterrand, which is, I believe, very interesting, because he's, according to me, one of the real friends of Israel. And I'm very surprised to for instance, I read in a French newspaper about, you know, they don't talk about that, like, but I'm very... Frappé, by the great amount of Jews in the personal surroundings of François Mitterrand.
When you see the list here in Fabius,
I read about who were the people who were with François Mitterrand at the evening of the second round of the elections. I read Jacques Lang, which is one Jew, Roger Hanin, a second Jew, Robert Badinter, a third Jew, Laurence Fabius, a fourth Jew, and the fifth person, Irène Daillandet, is also Jew. And when there were all the people who were in his surroundings at that moment, and when at 9:30 he quit all these people, he went to talk with his counselor, Charles Salzman. So I believe there was a very, very specific...
He was
Well, if
he
I
wrote
didn't
it
speak...
from the point of view of Nascanaz.
If I didn't speak about François Mitterrand, it was, first of all, because I wanted to stay inside the line of antisemitism and not to the relations from France to Israel. That's to say, I think it went without saying, but if you think it goes better with saying it, it's a very important point that it's true that Mitterrand is a real, I don't know if he's a real friend of Israel or of the Jews, but maybe he's one of the most understanding people to Judaism, and it is very important. About his Jewish counselors, a few writers' newspapers, pointed out that there are a lot of Jews inside the government or among the counselors, but this is not yet, as far as I know, a main topic in French inside policy. That's to say, this could be if the socialist government has difficulties and is not succeeding, this could be a very bad thing to Jews. And this closely linked to the fact a lot of people believe that Mitterrand was elected mainly or very importantly by a Jewish vote. But I'm not sure it's now, just now, I don't speak about in 2 months or in 1 year, But I'm not sure it's now a very important topic. One could speak a lot about of these problems, about the boycott and the fact that, that French is not it's not more applicating the Arab boycott and so on and so on. But this is quite far from the specific problem of anti-Semitism.
Thank you very much. I see some coffee pots and cups that mean that it's time for a coffee break.
We're having a coffee break, so we can stop it.
Of course, we have that. And I would like really to finish the general reports within this morning so that we have 2 or 3 hours for observers to observe and for us to draw some kind of
comment.
To comment, some kind of common definition of the contemporary Jewish condition in Europe. And I would like to ask the German representative to speak. Representative of Germany?
Yes, we don't have
him. Well, I asked, you said he was here, no? He's not here.
Just left.
Two things compared to Austria. One is that anti-Semitism is a little bit stronger in Germany, West Germany, than in Austria today. It's about, according to our indices, it's about 6% or so stronger than in Austria, which was somewhat of a surprise to us. This is compared to the Silbermann study done in the late 70s in Germany. The second thing is what you said on Denmark is very much, and even stronger applies to West Germany than to other countries, I think. So you have really this generational break in public opinion, and you have a very strong anti-Zionist impact with strong anti-Semitic overtones. There were many studies done, for example, by Henrik Broder, analyzing this radical left-wing literature in Israel, and this came up very clear. That is just plainly anti-Semitic. But this has a strong impact on the on public opinion through the media. Then there's a third phenomenon, which we never had in Austria for the last 30 years, which is personal physical assaults on Jews in Germany. I was at a conference, and they reported many, many episodes of this. A Jewish teacher. It was done by the Evangelische Akademie, which is a Christian
interfaith.
So, well, this is three differences, which I think are important in assessing the situation in Germany and the old. And there is a kind of, as the philo-Semitism, which for a long time persisted in West Germany after the war, now there's again a reaction against this. And I think this is to become very dangerous, if it's not yet rather dangerous. Because philo-Semitism, of course, it was the same stereotypes, we had the same prejudice, just reversed. Regarding its evaluation, and now you have again a change in evaluation, but the persistence of the old stereotypes. And this is, I think, at least according to all the data I have, it's stronger than it's stronger in Germany than in Austria.
How was the perception of the American broadcast
in Holocaust? There's a study done by Andy Markowitz comparing this in France, West Germany, and Austria, and this was. More positively seen in West Germany.
And maybe there is
then in France, more positively in West Germany than in France and in Austria.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, I was simply going to say that I spent 6 weeks in Germany, ending in October 81, and studying the rise of neo-Nazism in Germany. So my data is not more recent than that. The thing that struck me most forcibly is the attitude of the German government towards the resurgence of Nazism. And for a long time, there was severe criticism against the government that the charge was that they were blind to the rise of neo-Nazism, and they focused their attention on the rise of the left-wing terrorism. And the problem in Germany is on the terrorist groups. There has been a tendency within the past few years for the extreme right and the neo-Nazi groups to get involved in acts of terror, whether or not it is a response by the right to the headlines grabbed by the leftists, whether or not it is the growing interchange between the PLO and the right-wing groups, I don't know, but I am utterly convinced that the government of Germany today, which must, by the way, walk a very, very thin line. On the one hand, they do not wish to appear to the outside world as being a new Gestapo, a new police state. On the other hand, they do not wish to convey the impression that they allow neo-Nazism to flourish. But I am convinced on the basis of regular communication with the Verfassungsschutz, which is the intelligence and the prosecuting arm of the German government, there is a desire, strong desire on the part of the German government to take whatever effective measures they can against the rise of neo-Nazi groups, even to the extent that they were willing to violate the German constitution in conducting a series of raids recently against the Wehrschutzgruppe Hoffmann and some of the other groups.
Thank you.
I'd like to preface my remarks by talking about very shortly about the general condition of the Jews in the United Kingdom. When we meet at conferences like this, everybody tells about the West, and then at the end, like Denmark, you have, but of course in Denmark it's okay. One should keep that in perspective. The Jewish community in Britain is an accepted community. It's not seen as outsiders. Indeed, the Jewish community have been there on and off since the days of William the Conqueror, except for some 400 years or so when they were exiled, and even then there were Jews who were physicians to the royal government. And so the Jews are considered on a par with the Welsh, the Irish, the Scottish, they're seen as an indigenous part of the British population. To give you just, I'll only cite one example. There are some 40 Jewish members of Parliament, most of them from the Labour Party, but now an increasing number from the Conservative Party and the SD, the new Social Democratic Alliance with the Liberals. So that there are, it's estimated that some 5% of the members of Parliament are Jewish. Jews constitute something like 0.5% of the population of Britain, so we wouldn't look for a quota of equality in Britain. The anti-Semitism that we face is structured rather than endemic. It's organized, and there's a very strong fascist movement, neo-Nazi movement in the UK. The National Front is much weakened since its heyday some 5 or 6 years ago, when it got almost 200,000 votes. Indeed, in 1979, it still managed to obtain almost that amount of votes, but they put up 300 candidates for the 618 or so seats in Parliament. They spread themselves out too far. Their percentage per constituency was 1.3% per contest, whereas in 76, in the local elections, they were averaging 9.5%. It gives you an idea that they've been decimated. The result was that they began to blame each other for their lack of progress, and they fractured, they fragmented now into some three different groups. The official National Front is now much more overtly anti-Semitic, has moved out of the realm of conventional politics into marches, demonstrations, in an attempt to kick their way into the headlines. They participate in elections previously, mainly in order to be entitled to the official allocation of time on radio and television, which parties that produce more than 50 candidates were entitled to. They never expected to do very well, but they use it for propaganda purposes. Today, they're almost out of that business. They're only contesting, if we expect, that they will now put up 50 candidates in the next election rather than the 300 which they put up last time. And there's a split between a National Socialist wing, which is the official National Front, which follows the Strasserite line of appealing to the working classes, to the Lumpen proletariat, to the disadvantaged in society. And they're now moving away from competition with the right-wing Tory vote to where they're actually competing for working class support, because they see the working classes as being most affected by the influx of immigrants into Britain. The next group is led by John Tyndall, who was the former leader of the National Front. He now heads what's called the British National Party. He follows the line of the National Front before the change after 1979. There is still the British movement, which has always been overtly Nazi and identified with Nazi Germany. They have been weakened because half of their group have moved into an alliance with Tyndall in the British National Party. What we've noticed on the extreme right is the very strong emphasis on Israel and the Middle East. They are no longer, if ever, distinguishing between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism, saying that they liked Israel but they didn't like the Jews. Now they're very, very overtly anti-Semitic and identifying with the Arabs. I brought some literature along, which if any want to have a look, you can see this connection, which is also used by the extreme left, the Jews. This is again National Front News. This to give you an idea of one picture speaks louder than a million words. Cultural mafia. You can see that there's now very, very overtly and actively anti-Semitic. But the factor that we've noticed is the apart from the movement to towards the Israel anti-Zionism issue, and this, of course, is we see as very much related, is the campaign for historical revisionism, which is a very, very important one. We believe not because there's going to be any massive change in public opinion where the world will suddenly become afflicted by some collective amnesia to forget what happened or to refuse to remember what happened during the war. And that's not very much in the cards. But we see the use of historical revisionism as an attempt by the Arabs, particularly the Saudi Arabians, to affect public opinion towards Israel by removing the guilt feelings that the West have had towards Israel on the grounds of what happened in the Holocaust. If they could somehow prove the Holocaust didn't happen, then everybody will suddenly switch back to the Arabs. It's naive, but the Nazis, the neo-Nazis, exploit this naivete. And I believe, and there's very strong evidence for it, that the extreme right is being funded by the Arabs, through groups like the World Anti-Communist League. There's been evidence that the Unification Church, has been in involved in that. We recently had an incident where, that is a year ago, some 1,000 packets were sent out from Pakistan by the World Islamic Foundation. President is of that group is a former prime minister of Syria. The patron is a cousin of the king of Saudi Arabia. The books were written by an American Nazi, William Grimstad. One was a 6 million reconsidered. The other was a book called Anti-Zion. The book Anti-Zion has a dedication to the king of Saudi Arabia in it. So the connection is very, very strong. One only has to look at the list of literature sold by the extreme right to see that there's a very strong Arab influence there. But quite honestly, in Britain today, we're much more occupied with the extreme left. And there is, at one time we entered into the game of deciding whether it was anti-Semitism or anti-Zionism. We don't now look into people's hearts. I don't think anybody could really establish what's involved. The fact is that the effect of the so-called anti-Zionist propaganda, the extreme left, is resulting in anti-Semitism. So we're not going to look for intent in a subjective sense, but to look at it objectively to see what is the result. If the result is anti-Semitic, then we have to assume that the people that are putting forward these views are anti-Semitic. And this is the kind of thing that we had to contend with. This is from the Labour Herald, which is a newspaper edited by Ken Livingstone, who is, for those of you who are not conversant with British politics, is a chairman of the Greater London Council, whose job is equivalent to that, I would say, roughly a combination of the mayor of New York and the president of the city council in New York. And he is very closely involved with the Workers' Revolutionary Party. The Workers' Revolutionary Party publishes a daily newspaper called Newsline, which is some 16 to 20 pages, an excellent publication journalistically.
Where does their money come from?
Well, that's it. It's almost certain that the Newsline is funded by the Libyans. The Newsline has a company called Astmore Lipo, which is a printing company in Cheshire, someplace near the Manchester area. They also print not only the Labour Herald, but also a sister newspaper in Scotland called the Dundee Standard. And in Scotland, also the Labour Party is involved, a man called Ernie Ross, a member of Parliament, and another aspiring member of Parliament called George Galloway, who spends as much time in Libya as he does in Scotland. The Libyans themselves publish two weekly newspapers of considerable size. It has an organization called Main Event, led by a former liberal politician called Louis Eakes, who now works full-time for the Libyans on the Main Event. And it's Libyans are obviously subsidizing the WRP by having the WRP publish its own newspapers, which have a very small circulation. It certainly is not worth for General Gaddafi to produce two weekly newspapers. Even one would be far superfluous in the British context. So it's obvious that there's an attempt there to fund the left. We're worried about increased incidents, but what we found was that far from this being a result of what was happening in Israel, it was the same people who were involved in incidents before who are now involved with incidents after. They've been encouraged by the events in Lebanon to have a try at it. But there's no evidence that suddenly, because of Begin's policy in Israel, that people spontaneously have become anti-Semitic. the polls that were taken, and they're not ours, actually the Arabs took the polls and the money, and they did it. And even their own poll showed that there was only a marginal shift in public opinion, roughly reflecting what was shown in Denmark. But what we are concerned about is that the press has now opened up its columns to the kind of anti-Semitism which previously they kept out by form of self-censorship. There's been a tremendous campaign of pressure put on Jews to dissociate themselves with Israel. And there's another factor which one should consider about Britain is that Britain's argument with Begin is not since Lebanon. It goes back to the Mandate period. And whereas previously it was the extreme right that always brought up Deir Yassin, the hanging of the sergeants, the King David Hotel, now the same arguments are being used by the extreme left and some newspapers which previously were very pro-Israel, such as the Daily Mirror, the Daily Telegraph, have now shifted very much into the Arab, significantly towards the Arabs. I'd like again to show you, just, and I'll finish here, this is from the Socialist Worker, a Trotskyist newspaper. Now, they're very influential on the campus, and this is where the test of anti-Semitism, anti-Zionism is significant. The fight that is taking place is amongst the young. At universities, only one in four Jews identified. There are some 12,000 Jewish students, or 15,000, depending on whether they identify or not as Jews. But even those that we can, the 12,000 that we know are Jewish, only between 3,000 and 4,000 actually identify with the Jewish community. Whether this is out of fear or because they're just not interested and assimilated, we don't know. The attacks on the Jewish students, not in a physical sense, although that is also beginning to manifest itself, come from the extreme left. There is no hardly any extreme right influence at the university. It starts with Zionism and with racism. There's a policy of no platform for racists. Attempts have been made to keep the Jewish societies from organizing. That was rejected by the Union, the National Union of Students. So now, through other means, attempts are being made to deny funding to Jewish student organizations. That hasn't succeeded, but I might say that one result of this campaign has to increase the Jewishness of those students who have already been identified, who were identified previously. There's a much stronger spirit amongst Jewish students. I think that is the most encouraging factor. But I would only say, and I haven't gone into the question of the Labour Party itself, which one has to keep in mind. The Labour Party is now in the throes of disintegration. It's been infiltrated by Trotskyists, a group called the Militant Tendency, who are so powerful within the Labour Party. They control from 50 to 85 constituencies. Although Michael Foot has tried to deal with them, he only succeeded in getting rid of the five members of the editorial board of their newspaper, Militant. Because it's Trotskyist, it doesn't recognize the Jewish people as a people. It sees them as a kind of vestige of a feudal or capitalistic system which is doomed, and that in the age of scientific socialism there won't be any more Jews, and therefore of all the people in the world, the Jews are not entitled to a state in Israel. The Palestinians are a people, they are entitled to it, and Militant Tendency is only one group within the Labour Party which has this view. There's also a group called the Socialist Organizers Alliance, which is very strong. There's another group called Labour Briefing, which has national links, and of which Ken Livingstone is involved. So we have to think that in the days when the Labour Party has been abandoned by so many moderate democratic labor socialists who have gone into the SDP, they have given the extreme left an opportunity to take over a major political party. This is a danger which we never feared from the extreme right, which at best has always been a lunatic fringe. The danger now is that a party which can aspire to power it could be a vehicle for, in the future, some kind of a society in which Jews will become powerful.
Yes, so most of the MPs come from the Labour Party, right?
Yes.
Most of the MPs still are some 32
Jews.
Maybe just one very short story on Gaddafi financing these leftist fringes. For example, in Austria, when he came to Austria as a state visitor, he had a special meeting inviting intellectuals, especially leftist intellectuals, to his hotel, giving them a 1.5 hour talk, and he invited them to Libya very generously. And almost all of them were strongly attached to Israel before. And during the conversation, for example, one of them told me later on that he made a remark like, you'll see the Third World War will be started by the Zionists as they did start the First and the Second World War. And they didn't dare to bring this up in the press as I tried to, and I told it to other people, but nobody really dared to bring this up. So there is a very, it's not even very subtle. They try just to buy people, and especially opinion maker. On the other hand, what you said about the radical left, I cannot confirm this regarding to Austria, because most of the radical left is Jewish, leaders are Jewish, and what they did, which I think is very positive, they founded a kind of informal organization for Palestinian Jewish reconciliation, and this is something which is which I think had a good impact, made a kind of immunization against this Zionismus, racism, propaganda, and all of this. So they were really immunized. The radical left in Austria was immunized by this kind of positive approach towards the.
You can be Jewish and anti-Zionist at the same time, and there are a lot of examples in Belgium, France, and so on.
I agree, but this did not happen.
Fanatic anti-Zionists being Jews. And even in the beginning of this century, you could have, I could give you a lot of example of Jewish anti-Semitics, like, for instance, Walter Rathenau and so on. It's no proof.
Actually, I think it is significant, because for instance, if you take the Socialist Workers' Party, the leader of the Socialist Workers' Party in Britain, and it's the strongest of the Trotskyist groups outside of the Labour Party. It's the most extreme in the sense that it won't cooperate at all with any group which is not Trotskyist. The leader of this group is Tony Cliff, whose real name is Yigal Gluckstein. I still think he has an Israeli passport. Now, what is significant here is that if Tony Cliff, he was the leader of the Socialist Workers' Party, but if the Socialist Workers' Party were led by Paul Foote, who was a nephew of Michael Foote, and who is a leading member of the Socialist Workers' Party, Israel and the Middle East would only be a peripheral issue. It's because Tony Cliff is Israeli and has a hang-up about being the Jewish that the Israeli issue and the Middle East issue plays such an inordinately important role in their politics.
In Italy, we are 35 Jews in 55 million of Italian population. We are concentrated mostly in Rome and Milan. As you all know, since many years, political, economic, and social crisis is in course in Italy. As a consequence, in the last 2 years, the degree of violence has been increasing in Italy. Its impact on anti-Semitism has also been on of growth, but not as to the number of episodes. From 1978 to 1980, their number had doubled. 1362-80, more or less, is to the degree of violence. Specifically, in these last 2 or 3 years, we had more frequent attacks, verbal, written, or some bomb, to individuals, Jews, the Jewish community premises, and the synagogue, than for the previous years. You, not so many, but they are the first in the last years. The occurring episodes could be easily retraced to the well-known anthropological themes of prejudice. The fascist one accused the Jews of being alien to the national element, to be capitalist, and at the same time conniving with the communists, and persecute Palestinians in Israel. We know that some neo-fascist group is directed by Gaddafi. But not only them receive money. Well, I know the manifesto, newspaper of a group on the left of the communist and communist party, the government is not a party, received 50 million in a year to write a good article about this. And the second anthropological type is the Catholic, with a refusal of an actual, concrete, physical, organized Jews. Jews, for them, are only testimonial spirituals. Besides, the third, the leftist one, the Jews are bourgeois, rich, and in Israel they are imperialists. Besides, a generalized prejudice attributing to the Jews financial power, wealth, and so on. Fortunately, in Italy, the revisionism, denied of Holocaust, has not been very successful, except in the extreme right. But in Italy, the extreme right is not so, it's a few, a little group. But the doubt has been spread a little. Israel military action in Lebanon, and moreover the suburb of Shatila, slaughter, marked a turn point concerning anti-Semitism. Three were the qualifying points for the change. Exceptional emphasis was given to this war in comparison with other wars that took place in the same period. During debates organized by parties, it seemed natural to invite a member of PLO while no Israeli was in the time. Generally speaking, the debate that took place in the journalist world and within the social forces had the following characteristics. News, comments, and bulletins regarding the events that were taking place were rhetorically distorted by means of partial information, excess of language, perverse comparison, and outdated association. Truth given a series of negative values to the state of Israel and to its full population. Then, a series of considerations about Jewish entity, in which often the means of political and social analysis used very extremely approximately. A systematic linguistic confusion, together with a more radicated confusion regarding certain Jewish realities, state of Israel, Israeli government, Israeli population, Zionist ideal, Judaism in different countries, causing negative repercussions. Which often went far behind the intention of the writer himself. Speculative researches with the intention of discovering the reasons for the behavior of the present Israeli government in the Bible. In this way, a modern political entity like Israel was quickly found in a sort of historical way to some presumed characteristics of the past, using examples taken either from historical events or from particular aspects of the Jewish religion. Then, due to the article described above, the image of Judaism as the world began taking the form corresponding to the series of negative values attributed to the state of Israel. For this, some opinions on Jewish reality were added that perhaps intentionally, I don't know, or by lack of knowledge, contained prejudices and stereotypes belonging to the traditional identity. The quantity of misleading elements present in public debate, together with events doubtlessly serious, could have influenced those individuals that are more exposed to prejudice. The increase in verbal expressions against Jews, the fusion sometimes showed to any individual Jews, the act of real and true antisemitism could have been the consequence of what has been described above. There were many accusations to all Jews to be responsible for the slaughter of the Sabbath. A mixture of the different anthropological schemes of prejudice brought about within the extreme left expression of this sort, Hitler did not kill enough of them. The increasing episode of antisemitism from an average of 80 more or less, recorded by the United Italian community, and SPEC, to 100 in 3 months, in July, 4th day of October. If you want, I can give you some examples.
Has that lessened any now, tapered off?
No.
No. Has that gone down?
Now it has more. Back to normal. In Rome, the 9th of October of 1882, a commando of terrorists of sorts, the crowd of Jews coming out from the synagogue, bombs and machine guns hit at random. A 2-year-old child dies and 36 people are wounded more or less seriously. The attack to the Rome synagogue, which however was due to international terrorists, was a strong stimulus for the press, politicians and public opinion to think things over and realize what would be the consequences of condemning the state of Israel conditionally and unfairly, and the consequence of confusing Israel, Zionists and the Jews of the world over.
Is it that the press itself has come to appreciate that?
Yes.
No, they have sensed the danger. They realized that there was really some kind of link between the demonization of the Jews.
Because the Jews of Rome accused very, very much all the
It's not like wishful thinking, but you actually believe the press has...
There was some soul searching. We have personally experienced people coming. Yes, there was some. They realized that there was a collective danger in this.
Bertini spoke out, didn't he?
Oh yes, this is also a problem. We will raise in the debate later. The problem of the authorities protecting the Jews so far in democratic times.
In the period of October-December, I believe that hundreds of meetings and lectures are on that question on Zionism and Israel were held. And each time, often the presence of an Israeli was requested.